Turn to 1 Corinthians. For this place, an extremely familiar passage of Scripture. And an extremely familiar subject, I believe. 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to go ahead and read from 17 to 24. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God, by the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Like I said, a very familiar passage of Scripture to this place. To other places, maybe not so much. But that's their shortage. I want to speak today about Christ crucified. I want to preach Christ crucified. This, I believe, is the major theme of the Bible, from beginning to end. There are other things, certainly. But from my perspective, which is the perspective of a depraved, fallen human being, this is the most important theme of the Bible. Because without Christ crucified, there is nothing. Absolutely nothing. I see nothing more important to me than Christ and Him crucified. Because there is nothing more important to me than Christ and Him crucified. Now I realize, I understand, and I will fully confess that this is a self-centered point of view. But I am a self-centered person. That was a confession. I feel better now. It's the truth. My perspective matters to me. It does. And I read this book, and I see the overall themes. But yes, I am looking for an application to me. I am looking for the truth of God to be revealed to me. And I hope that's what you're wanting. And Christ crucified is necessary, absolutely, positively necessary for the salvation of my soul. And that's as self-centered as I can get. I'm not claiming any credit for it. I'm not going to let anybody else claim any credit for it if I can help it. Not in my hearing. They will, but I'm not. But it is absolutely necessary for the salvation of my soul and of yours. And Christ crucified shows us, emphasis the us here, the power and wisdom of Almighty God. And this is actually what we endeavor to do every time we preach. Because this is where salvation lay. This is where it was purchased. This is where it is provided, and this is where it is shown to us in Christ crucified. Of course, now verse 17 starts off with Paul saying, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words. Lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Now the word, actually, preach the gospel is one word here. And it's based on our, what we have transliterated into evangelize. proclaim the good news. Preach the gospel. We proclaim the good news, not with wisdom of words, but with the truth that is revealed in the Scriptures. We've got nothing else. I mean, that's what, there are people, and I mean, you know, I was listening to some things about preachers and preaching that Dr. Jones had done. And there's a thing in there where he talks about eloquence. And there are some very eloquent people out there. And I mean, you can read some of the old writers, and I mean, they wax poetic, and they've got wonderful phrases, and some of them are really good, and I'm going to steal one here at the end. It's for my conclusion. That's right. When there are better things written, I'm going to borrow them. He's dead, he don't mind, you know. He said, and I agree with this, he says, if you are an eloquent person, fine, be eloquent. But don't try and force it. You don't use the wisdom of words to try to get a point across from the Scripture. You use the Scripture.
Right. Amen.
This is what we have. This is what God has given us. This is what worked on me. Not like that song I heard this morning before our radio broadcast that the Salvation Army put out. Boy, I mean, you know, I'm better off hearing about Lucretia Mehevil than the song they sang. They sang a song and it's called "I Believe the Word of God," and that part was okay. But then it said, "It gave me life." And I was wondering, did I hear that right? Because it said, "It gave me life." No. If He didn't give you life, you ain't got life.
Right.
The Word of God does. And we are to believe the Word. The Word that was God and was with God and is God and now is seated at the right hand of the Father. But this book does not give us life. This book will reveal life. But it doesn't give us life. And that's not why we're here with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. That's the danger. That's the warning from Paul. Don't make the cross of Christ of none effect. Christ crucified is what we're shooting for. Christ crucified is what we are to preach. That is the good news, which I'll get to later here. It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. Now this word preaching is actually the word logos. The logos of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. And that's what it is. That's what it was to me before He gave me life. It was foolishness. I mean, I've been around Jesus people and they irritated me. I've told you guys this before. And it's the truth. People who wanted to talk about Jesus used to irritate the dickens out of me. I would leave. And if I was stuck at my place of work, I'd go to another room and shut the door or something. But anyhow, the fact that our salvation was purchased on the cross by the Son of God, that He died for the sins of His people, is to those who don't know Him, it's foolishness.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what wisdom of words you want to use, it's still foolishness to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because the preaching of the cross is not foolishness unless you don't get it. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. The God we preach destroys. The world doesn't understand that at all. They see that stuff in the Old Testament. Well, that was God. See, Jesus is nice. I don't know what book they're reading. Well, actually, I know what book they're not understanding. I hope they're reading this one, but this is the whole point. Christ himself said, fear him who has the power to destroy both body and soul in hell. That's what it says. Those are the words of sweet little Jesus, meek and mild, look upon a little child. Those are the words of the Lord of glory. Our God destroys when he wants to destroy. Our God creates when he wants to create. And I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Some people don't like that, but that's their problem. The wise and the prudent of this world do not know what is going on in this world. They don't get it. I see it. And I believe you see it too. If you know Christ, he's going to show the world to you. First, he's going to show it to you in your own heart. He's going to show it to you in your own heart, and you're going to learn to hate it. It's still there, and I still hate it. But I see in the world what God is doing. How things are moving nearby me and far off. Because this man, this Christ, did what he did for his people. He was crucified. But the world will never see it. The wise and the prudent will never see it. Verse 20 says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Yes, he has, if you have eyes to see.
Right.
The wisdom of this world, I can tell you exactly how I can prove it to you, if you got eyes to see and ears to hear, how the world's wisdom is foolishness with God, and proven every day, because every day man's wisdom changes. Every day. Every day. Sometimes it's small changes, sometimes it's big changes. Science textbooks have always got to be updated. And they are being updated even as we speak. And by the time you get one, it's out of date. It's wrong. There's something in there that's changed. I've told you sometime before, I remember the 50s. I wasn't there for much of it, but I do remember it. I've read old stuff of it, right? They used to believe outer space had something in it because it carried radio waves. They didn't know what it was, so they called it the ether. Now we say it's a vacuum. But it's a vacuum full of hydrogen that flows from the sun and everywhere else, and they don't know where any of it come from. And they'll tell you they don't know. But then they get mad if you tell them they don't know.
Yeah.
Ain't that the beauty of it?
Yeah.
You can't tell them they don't know, but they might mention it in passing that they don't know.
Yeah.
You'll hear them every now and then. I've heard them on television. They still don't know exactly how electricity works. They know what it does, and they know how to switch it from here to there. And they know how to produce it here and send it down a wire. But they don't actually know what it is. The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. History books have been changed and are being changed. And I'm going to tell you this right now. More of them need changed. Man's knowledge, falsely so called, is always changing. Sometimes to add more lies. It's foolish. It's foolish. In the sight of God, man's wisdom is nothing but foolishness. And they will completely, totally, unequivocally deny the work of God in anything to do with this world. And that is utter foolishness. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. we did not pick this way of doing things.
Right.
It wasn't up to us, was it, Walter? I would just as soon have somebody else do this or have it done another way.
Right.
I could sit here quietly and try and commune or pray or whatever. No, he said, preach. That's what he told us. And that's what this word is. Here, preach. The foolishness of preaching. Again, I loved Earl. Not the preaching of foolishness. But the preaching is the proclamation. Again. The public announcement of Christ and Him crucified.
Yeah.
The public announcement of what God has done from His Word that we have been given. This is what we are to do. This is the way God chose for this to be done.
Right.
Now, I do want to point out that it's not by the foolishness of preaching. Okay. That we're given faith. It says the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. If you don't believe, my preaching will do you no good. And that's just the way it is. And actually, if you really want to know about it, that's base logic. My preaching will not make you believe. Okay? You're either uncircumcised in heart and ears, or you're not. And if these words fall on those uncircumcised ears, that uncircumcised heart, you will always resist the Holy Ghost. That's what Stephen said when they were stoning, getting ready to stone him. You always resist the Holy Ghost. Why? Because your heart's uncircumcised and your ears are uncircumcised. It's going to be foolishness to you. That's what he just said. If you don't believe, if you have not been given faith by God, you're not going to believe. No matter what I say. However, if you have been given faith, you will hear us. And you will believe. You'll believe. For the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. The Jews wanted a sign, Walter. They asked Christ for one. They didn't believe the signs of God. He healed the sick and raised the dead, and guess what? They killed him. He fed 5,000. After he talked to them, they left. Jim McClarty said something wonderful about that. I got to thinking about that. You know, them 12 apostles that started off with him. When he preached and those 5,000 were fed and they listened and they heard and they followed him around the lake and everything else. You know, they said, man, we got it made now. We got a big church, Mason. Christ spoke to them and they all left. Then Christ looked at his disciples and he said, you want to go too? Why did they want to leave? Because he said, it ain't of you. It's of God. And guess what? They've left this place because we've preached that. They turned and walked no more with the Son of God because of what He said. That's the way it is. That's the way man is. The preaching of the cross is to him foolishness. To him. But not to us. Not to us. Verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness. Again, this is herald. Proclamation. Preaching. But what I want to point out here to start with is preaching the gospel, that evangelizing, preaching the cross, and preaching Christ crucified, they're all the same thing. whether you're evangelizing or you're talking to the flock or you're whatever. If you're not preaching Christ crucified, you're not preaching. If you're not preaching the salvation of God, you're not preaching. And the salvation is of the Lord. Guaranteed. Christ the Anointed One, God's elect, crucified. The Christ was put to death for crimes He did not commit. That's the message. His death on the cross, the crucifixion of Christ, is the crux, the center of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Because it's not an afterthought. I don't know how many people have, you know, come up with that great idea. It's not a contingency plan. It was a result. It wasn't a result of things that went horribly wrong, Walter. Things just got out of hand. This was the plan from the beginning. This was the plan from the beginning of the salvation of His people. Christ had to be crucified. This is exactly the way it was supposed to happen. People don't like that. People don't understand it. They want to talk about Jesus in a manger, sweet little baby. They want to talk about Him. Oh, He fed the sick and healed the hungry. I don't know. The other way around. He fed the hungry and He healed the sick. Yes, He did. Yes, He did. And they left it. Not so much the ones He healed necessarily, but the ones He fed. You know. There are those out there, Paul writes, whose God is their belly. Yeah. Yeah. You feed a man, he'll put up with some stuff. Won't put up with Christ preaching, though.
Right. There you
go. That's right. He'll put up with some. That's one way the Salvation Army does their ministry. Remember, they call in, they have soup kitchens, and I'm wonderful, I'm glad they do. But while they're doing it, somebody's up there talking. And you know, if it wasn't for them guys getting fed, I don't think they'd be there. They think they got a captive audience, and they think maybe their preacher's going to do them some good. But no, preaching only works on those that believe. That's what Paul writes here. Christ crucified was not an afterthought. It wasn't a second opinion. Christ Jesus and Him crucified is the plan to accomplish the purpose of God for the salvation of His people. The first message preached at Pentecost was the evangelizing good news of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Peter preached it. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by Him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, but won't admit. Him being delivered by the what? Determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that He should be holden of it. That was the first message of Pentecost. What was it? Christ crucified. By the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God. And you did it. I did it. If I'd been there, I'd have been there right with the mob. Come on. Fess up. I don't know, but I used to hate religious people. Well, in some ways I still sort of do. But I like believers. I like His people. I like his gospel. And his gospel says that his son was crucified by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God. It was the plan. It was the plan. It was done on purpose. Now you did it, you're guilty of it. Just like those Philistines attacking Israel. God sent them, God led them, and they taught Israel a lesson. Didn't last long, but they taught them a lesson. And then he blamed the Philistines for it. Because they did exactly what they wanted to do. That made them guilty. And these men wanted Christ dead, and thereby they were guilty of it.
Yeah.
Even though it was determined by God.
Yes.
And foreordained of God. And carried out by God. Christ himself said, "Don't you know I can call 12 legions of angels?" He could have stopped it. And that idiot saying, "Oh, it was the greatest crime in history, and I'd have stopped it if I'd have been there." Well, yeah, if you'd have tried, he'd have killed you. Because it was the plan. Jesus Christ was going to be crucified. And we're going to preach him. Crucified. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Them which are called. Well, if you want to go back to verse 18. But unto us which are saved. That's the same people.
Right.
The saved are those that are the called.
Right.
And the called are those that are saved. No one else. No one else. The word called here is not a, it's not a noun, it's actually an adjective. It's the called them. It's a modifier. That's what an adjective, it modifies a noun. Well, I like the word, it's a descriptor. It describes a noun. Them are called. That's what it is. Them are saved. Called Jews. Called Gentiles, called men, and called women. Them are saved. Us, which are saved. Verse 2, this whole letter is written to them that are sanctified. Called saints. Now they put that little 2B in there, but you... better off leaving that out at this point. Called saints. Called saints. Called believers. Called saved. Our preaching is a call, but it's not this call. Again, the first message preached at Pentecost. Acts 2:38, Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." That is one of the most abused verses by the Pentecostal movement. They love that. They'll put that up on a building, but they won't read the next verse. Acts 2:39. "For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off." That's us. That's me. "Even as many as the Lord our God shall call."
Right.
That's what Paul's talking about here. That call. The good shepherd calls his sheep by name. Says it three different times. Three different ways. "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." "Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring." I like that. "And they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd." And the third one he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they followed me. Now notice very carefully all the scripture there about the call. There's nothing said, because there's nothing there, about anybody listening. It's not because you're listening that you hear His call. That's the way people preach it. They're wrong. If God calls, you'll hear. If Christ calls His sheep by name, that sheep hears. And I know them. They follow me. There's results to this call. Every single time. Christ didn't say, and if you will, you can follow. Or if you will, you'll hear. He ain't worried about you hearing. He'll give you hearing. He's got to give you hearing. Somehow that uncircumcised heart and ear has to become circumcised. And when He calls, you'll hear. That's who Paul's talking about here. The called. Nobody else, to the world, to the wise, to the prudent, this is foolishness. But you people, I believe, know what I'm talking about. Because this is the way God saves His people. There's no mention in John or Acts of anyone listening. Neither you or your children are listening, Walter. But the Lord our God shall call. The sheep are not said to be listening. They're said to be astray. But it said He calls and He leads and they follow. They shall hear My voice. My sheep hear My voice. When God calls, when the Good Shepherd calls, you will hear and you will follow. I love that scripture that Paul quotes in Romans that he got from Isaiah. I was found of them that sought Me not. I was called on by people who didn't know Me. How does that happen? He calls. And they are the called. Unto them which are called, both Jew and Greeks, it doesn't matter which, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. These are the called to whom preaching Christ crucified is the power of God and the wisdom of God. We publicly proclaim the truth, but we know this for a fact. Only some will hear. We say it out loud. We're on the radio now. We've been on YouTube. We've got a website. We've had a few people, mostly because of other connections. But the world won't have this gospel. I can tell you that right now. You know? He that is of God heareth us. That's them called. He that is not of God doesn't hear us. That's what John said. Those who have not been called are not of God. Now what do the called hear and see in Christ crucified? The power of God and the wisdom of God. Now here's that statement I stole. Christ crucified, while it reveals God's judgment upon all flesh, He also reveals His salvation of the lost and the guilty sinner. Sin is perfectly judged in Christ crucified. And the sinner is perfectly saved in Christ crucified. God perfectly revealed and perfectly glorified in Christ crucified. I like that. And that's what I see in the cross. His punishment for sin on His Son. And if God didn't spare His Son, He ain't sparing anyone else. His well-beloved, well-pleasing, perfect, holy, righteous Son of God was on a tree. As Walter preached ably, was made to be sin. We see God's holy, righteous, marvelous anger and judgment on His Son on that cross with Christ crucified. Sin must be punished. That's the word from the Lord. The soul that sinned, it shall die. That's the judgment. That's the punishment for sin. Death. But. No, not but. And. We see God's holy, righteous, marvelous grace and mercy in Christ crucified.
Yeah.
You can see both. They're both there. The judgment of God and the mercy of God. The punishment for sin and grace from above are all there in Christ crucified. Because while He was being punished for sin, He was taking away our sins. He satisfied the holy God and saved His people from their sins in that He was crucified. God was reconciled, both Jew and Gentile. He reconciled both Jew and Gentile unto Himself in Christ crucified. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, to reconcile all things unto Himself by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Believers, don't think Christ crucified is foolish.
No.
The world does. The world does. And the world always will.
Yeah.
But we, believers, hear, see, and know the power of God and the wisdom of God. In sacrificing, Christ sacrificed His life. He saved His people from their sins. That's the power of Christ crucified. And it's all His work. None of it ours. And it has accomplished exactly what He intended for it to accomplish. Those that are called hear of a just God and a Savior in the preaching of Christ crucified. And I love it. I love it. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this time and this place. Most of all, thankful for You, our Lord. You sent Your Son to be a propitiation, and He became a propitiation. He offered Himself in our place, in our stead, and took upon Himself our sins and purged them with His own precious blood. Gave His life on a cross, never having committed His own sin, never knowing sin except from the outside. He was made to be sin for us and died the death I was supposed to die. Thank You, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.